Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Jiva Tattva, page 51. The manifestation of Ahankara, identifying with the body, is included in the Kshetra, or body, an unconscious factor. One should also study the derivation of the word Ahankara. It means to produce a sense of I in relation to states or objects. Right? So it means the state means your existence itself or to things connected with your existence. Right? Therefore, the sense of I, different from the Atma, remains as the witness at that time. Even you say that the Atma remains as the witness of ignorance and deep sleep. Is this, what are we still doing here? What are we doing here? This is the uttara. Okay. Even you say that the Atma remains as the witness in ignorance in deep sleep. Being the witness means the Atma is directly the knower. Panini says, Sakshat drashtari samgyayam. The affix ini comes after the word sakshi. When it means the witness, when the word is the name, 5291, the witness sensing I know is the sense of I. Why should the sense of I not be acknowledged? One may argue that in the state of liberation, the sense of I no longer remains. Then whatever awareness remained would have disappeared because of lack of identity as Atma. Right? Because one of the basic principles is why would, if they don't exist, why would they be endeavoring? So they're endeavoring because of that sense of I, because of their existence, right? Because that's one of the things, they're understanding their existence. And then they can understand, okay, there's the body, but it's themselves knowing they're the body, the coverings of the body, so they want to get rid of that. But as soon as they get rid of the sense of I as the Atma, then there is going to be no experience. Because only means, if you say Brahmananda, that means there must be an experience. And so that means there has to be an experiencer. And so therefore, if they get rid of this individual identity, then there'll be nothing left for them. So then what's the whole point? You work so hard and you get nothing because you don't exist. You know. So but because they want this, that's the thing, because they are an individual, then they try to, you know, they come up with their philosophies. If that is so, the scriptures dedicated to liberation would then be useless, since no one, deformed in terms of I, could attain liberation. Because an individual couldn't attain liberation because there is no individual. Right? So how would they attain liberation? So why would they say you will attain liberation? You know, in other words, the I attains liberation, not the nothingness attains liberation. Because if there's nothing, there's no need to liberate nothing. Okay. Actually, the Atma reveals the sense of I, even in liberation, since it reveals itself to itself. That which reveals itself to itself reveals the I in all cases. So it's not just in the conditioning, it's also in the liberated state. Just as everyone agrees that the Atma in material consciousness reveals itself to itself. That which does not reveal the sense of I does not reveal itself to itself. That is the case of a pot. Sri Bhasya 111-74. Wow, so many points. Huh? You're saying most everything's in these first few verses.
Yeah, he explains how quality is the Shakti of the Lord.
Yes, because that's what the thing is. It's the Shakti of the Lord, but we have a minute part of that that we can use. And so because he's conscious, we're conscious. And so therefore, then we also will have that sense of I. But it's coming from the Lord. It's not that we're independent in our I-ness. You know, or we can try, but that's why we're in the material world. As soon as we see it in connection with the Lord, that goes away. Then the material world is no longer there. Right? Then we are situated properly. Knowledge that I am separate from the body and that I am Atma does not produce ignorance. Right? They're saying that produces vidya. So why would that then produce vidya? And it's elevating you towards liberation, but then it has to be gotten rid of. So that's their whole thing, is they use things and then get rid of them. They use the guru, get rid of. They use the deity, get rid of. They use them, you know, their own sense of identity, get rid of. So we can see that there's a pattern here, and there's a problem in this pattern. Right? Rather, that liberates the Atma, since it is the opposite of thinking I am the body. Thus, there is the sense of I in the acquisition of true knowledge. Tad dai tat pashyan drishir vama devav prati pede ham manur abhavam suryas cha. Seeing this, the sage Vamana Dev, constantly repeated, I have become the moon and the sun. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.10. Aham eva pratahama masam vartami cha bhavishyami. I reside here the first month and will reside here in the future. Atarvashira 9. Thus there is identity of I in Supreme Brahman, which is the opposite of all ignorance. Hantaham imas tisro devata. I am the three devatas. Chandogya Upanishad 6.3.2. Bahushyam prajayaya. I will become many for producing progeny. Taittiriya Upanishad 6.2. Saikshata. Loan nu surija. He glanced and manifested the worlds. Aitariya Upanishad 1.1.1. Yasmat ksharam atito ham. I am superior to the temporary. Bhagavad Gita 15.8. So then the Supreme then has that sense of I. We have that sense of I. Right? And now we shall see the difference. Right? The sense of I is different in each Atma. Others describe non-difference among all Atmas in two ways. Some say that there is actually non-difference between Atmas, since difference is due to Upadis only. The separate identities are caused by the respective Upadis in each Atma in the material world. Others say that even in the material world there is identity of all as one jiva, but, like a dream, individuality is created. But then they're not saying who's dreaming here. You know, because everyone will think I'm the one dreaming and everybody else is illusions. You know? Both ideas can be rejected, since it is impossible to explain the origin of ignorance, which is the basis of Upadis or dream state. Because they have, if everything's Brahman, where did this ignorance come from? Where did illusion come from? Because if it came from Brahman, then that means it's real. Brahman's real, then the illusion coming from it is real. Though there may be the aspect of illusion, but there actually is an illusion. You know, just like there is a mirage. It may not be water, but there is a mirage. Right? So then that problem comes up. The ideas are not intelligible. The concepts of bifurcation, shadow, and reflection, Brahman becoming a jiva, will be shown to be faulty. Right? That's what came up yesterday, a few days back, the reflection aspect you mentioned. like that. Because if there's a reflection, that means there must be something real in the that's being reflected. And at the same time, you have to have something to reflect it on. If there's nothing, how can Brahman reflect on nothing? Mm-hmm. So
basically, they have three main directions.
Yes.
Brahman is under illusion.
Yes.
Then Brahman is reflecting itself. And then Brahman is dreaming. Is that right?
It seems to be. They have bifurcation, shadow, and reflection.
What's bifurcation?
Bifurcation is that the pot and that's at the pot. Some Akashas in the pot is covered by illusion, and so then you get the individual.
Oh,
shadow, then I'm not sure. Reflection, then, like you said, Brahman is. But where does this mirror come from? So if the mirror is coming from Brahman, that means Brahman has qualities. Brahman has, has senses, has all these different things. So that's the problem, is they don't want to take it back that far. They just take it back enough that it works. You know, it's just like, let's say some people, they have a problem, then many times, if they're not that experienced, but, they have, they have great egos, right? They will take the thing back to where it solves their problem. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem, it just solves their problem. And at that point, they stop, because they don't want you to take it further and show how solving their problem creates problems for others. It's easy, So yeah, we'll do this. We need more land. So then, we'll take all this land. But and they want to stop there the conversation. I have a problem. We need more land. We need more space. So we'll take this space. They don't want to be told, but that space, someone else is living there. So that's the problem. They don't keep going back. But then those that go back to know people are living there, they don't go, well, why is it that you can't take their stuff? Well, who said? Then just comes back, well, I don't like it. Yeah, but then, so you don't like it, so it may be wrong. It may be all right to take. So how do we establish that it's wrong? It has to go back further. So no one wants to take it back to the Lord. So they take it the farthest, right? They take it up to liberation. While the karmis take it up to, material pleasure. That, yes.
Another difficulty seems to be with the reflection. That what is the reflection of formless? It has no form.
How can you reflect nothing?
It's like, is it actually? What form it has if formless reflects itself?
Yeah, then you'd have formless. Like that. Yeah, so it's just on all levels it's a problem. So they use logic and all that to take the and interpretation to take the verses and come up with this idea. So it's a very convoluted kind of presentation, but they don't apply logic to this point, because when they do, then they have to keep switching around between these. Because I think original is just Brahma Parinamavad, no one even thinks about it. Well, when the Vaishnavas come along and point out this is wrong, then they switch. I think the latest one is this dream thing. 15. So they've come up with something new since then? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing could stand.
Okay. Yeah, so they just keep coming up with something new. Because any bogus philosophy can take shelter of the impersonalism. So they can come up with unlimited, foolish ideas.
Just bifurcation.
Sorry.
I think nowadays the most popular we see on the social media is a Sadhguru. The guy is like this and that. I mean, it's old ideas just repacked.
Yeah, he's smart. He's smart.
And I mean, he's super popular, like so many followers, and his videos are all over the place. You don't want it, you still get it.
These three are main: bifurcation, shadow, and reflection.
Oh, they're the main.
They are the disciples of Shankaracharya who propagated them.
Okay, so his own direct disciples came up with these three.
We'll come across them later.
Okay, and what did Shankara?
Shankara didn't say anything about this. He said that no.
He just Brahman mentioned it's all Brahman and all
yes.
that. Okay.
He didn't
and then,
actually propagate anything.
And then they came up with these things. Okay.
He just hinted, made some comments, and then according to their own desires, each disciple picked up his own. Bifurcation is, I think, directly Brahma Parinama.
Well, that's Brahma Parinama. Okay.
And then reflection and shadow came because there is a fault in Brahma Parinama.
Right.
And then I think reflection, they consider material world as completely illusory, doesn't even like has any existence, and shadow is, what is that?
Partial.
Vyavaharika. It's real reality, but reality on a different level.
Okay.
Partial reality.
Metaphysical.
So that's the only difference, but more or less the shadow and reflection there.
Same. It's just a matter of how much it exists or not. It's like the Buddhist. You have those four levels where, it's there but not important, and it's there and not there, and it's not really there, and it's absolutely nothing's there. You know, it's just.
Came across in Tattva Sandhravaya, Parichaya Vaal, Pratibimba Vaal.
Oh, okay.
Those ones.
In?
Tattva Sandhravaya.
In Tarpat, okay. A statement like Eko Devaha, there is one shining entity, Svetasvatara Upanishad, indicates Paramatma only. By delineating the Lord as one, the jivas are indicated as many. This meaning should be understood in other statements also. So when it's talking about the Supreme as one, then it means that he's a singular person, and then the jivas are other persons. So you have to know as the Supreme is, there's one, it's not us. We're in the many, he's in one. The concept of non-difference of jiva and the Lord is refuted because it will be shown that jiva and paramatma do not have the same swarup. Vritti. Having been forced to accept that the jiva is a knower, some impersonalists, ekajivavadis, resort to another cunning argument. The ekajivavadis opine that there is only one jiva who is dreaming, and because of his dream, there is a variety of objects and living entities manifested in the creation. Thus, according to them, there is only one knower, and also there is no actual individuality of different jivas, because they all are all manifest by the dream of one jiva. Okay. The author next smashes these meaningless arguments by proper logic and scriptural evidence. So now he'll go through these three. The leaders of Ekajivavad, philosophy of one jiva only, say you are the one jiva. Others in the form of other jivas and Ishwar are illusory, like mistaking a pole to be a man. There's cheating involved in those who speak about everything in this way, because one is aware of one's own existence. One can assume others are aware of their existence. This makes use of the pramana called sambhava, probability. Thus, existence of other jivas is proved. One can use anuman to infer that other jivas exist because, like oneself, other jivas persist their various qualities. You know, then it's a matter of which one's the one.
Yes, yes. This is the apex of self-absorption.
But he says the one is you.
Yeah, that's
the one. The one is you, but that's the thing is, yes, the one is you. But then the other jivas, they also have a sense of identity of I.
Yes.
So then that means for them, they are the one jiva. So then what are you? You are illusion?
But that's liberal. It's like you, God, I'm God. That's good.
Yeah, no, it's there, but I'm just saying, there's, yes, yes.
It's good as long as the two gods don't confront each other.
Yes, as long as they don't have a problem. I think it was, in one argument, I think it was Pancha Devita, because he used to always, even on when they were walking on the beach in Juhu, he'd take the part of the Mayavadi, and then Prabhupada would defeat. And so I think one time we were sitting in Fogel Ashram, not sure when, after lunch or something, and Vridhananda Maharaj was there, and Panchadevita was taking the Mayavadi. And then Panchadevita said something about, yes, we're all God. And then Vridhananda Maharaj said that, yes, so I'm God. Yes, you're also, you are God. I am God. So it says, so by the authority of me being God, I say you're not God. Yeah, Panchadevita didn't have a retort for that one. Yeah. So, yeah, because each one, everyone is, in this case, the one, so then the philosophy falls apart because they say there's only one jiva. But the point is as soon as there's one other jiva that's self-aware, then the philosophy is finished.
Yeah. But it's we can also see that it's it is satisfying the living entities.
Yes, the ego, because you think I am the one, and everybody else is illusion, and they're all thinking that, and no one wants to say anything because you don't want to make anybody feel bad that they're illusion, and you are the one.
There is no need to disturb other people.
Yeah, like Gita says, do not disturb the minds of the ignorant.
Also, yeah. Because they all, first of all, they need to go to forest and then meditate alone, then it works.
Oh, okay, because everybody
they
is...
They don't come across anybody.
Okay. Vai dharmyach cha no swapnaditvat. One cannot claim that objects are only cognition as in dreams, since there is difference in the dream object and the object of waking perception. Brahma Sutra 2229. You can say it's all a dream, but there's a difference between the awakening in consciousness and the items and the items in dream. You know, so it's already two different platforms. Using the example of a dream to explain perception of many jivas is not proper, since there is difference between what is produced in a dream and what one sees while awake. And it will be proved that what one sees in a dream is not always false. This is the case of Usha's dream of Aniruddha. Thousands of Shrutis, Puranas, Agamas, and Smritis, which state that the jivas are numerous with separate experiences of happiness and distress, would be useless. Otherwise, why would the Shastras talk about that? Because that means then the Shastra is supporting illusion. Then what's the point of Shastra? And the whole thing is you're following Shastra to gain the knowledge to get out of the material world. One should see statements like the following. Ye vaike chasmal lokat prayanti chandramasam eva te sarave Gachanti. All those who go from this world go to the moon. Kaishi Taki Upanishad 1:2. Since it is impossible for the one jiva having meaningless, beginningless ignorance to produce knowledge of liberation on his own, and since his logical ability is without foundation, and since the teachings of the Vedas and Guru would be produced by ignorance only, being another form of his own logic, liberation could never take place. Because all the things that give you liberation are just coming from your own imagination. Right. Thus, each jiva must be separate. Right. Yeah, because he has beginningless ignorance, so there's nothing to base it on that there'll be knowledge. And if you're basing it on the scriptures, but then the problem is all that would be produced from ignorance also, because if it's like this, if I am if I'm taking myself, you know, sitting out in the forest alone, not bumping into anybody. Okay, so I am the jiva who has beginningless ignorance, and then from that, then you're going to bring yourself by this knowledge to liberation. But then the problem is since it's all just a dream, the Vedas, the Guru, everything is also part of the dream. Okay, so that's all illusion. So that technically can't get you to liberation. But I myself, it's beginningless ignorance. So that means there's nothing there to work with to have knowledge of liberation. Does that make sense? It means I myself could not liberate myself because of beginning's ignorance. There is nothing but ignorance. And no one else could help me. The guru, the shastras, you know, and all that can't help either, because that's just part of my dream, which is coming out of ignorance. So it's not a well-founded philosophy. But as far as speculation goes, one has to admit Shankara taught them well, that they could come up with such things. You know, and then go and base it on Shastra and all that. You know, they've done their homework. But, you know, completely bogus. So that they're able to speculate so confidently. Concerning individual attempts at liberation, the Lord says, anadyavidya yuktasya purushasyatma vedanam svato na sambhavad anyas tatvagyo jnana do bhavet. Because a person, whether covered or not covered by beginningless ignorance, cannot realize Atma on his own, there must be a separate Supreme Lord who knows and gives knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.10. Right, so that all the jivas, if there's beginningless knowledge, then there must be a Lord who then gives a proper understanding. Because you can't get liberation, which means freedom from ignorance,
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You have to get that from real knowledge. That has to be coming from someone beyond this ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to come from the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. And so then how will the Supreme Lord give that to the living entity?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Because in their things, then they get rid of everything like that. You know, so all the themselves can't get liberated. Everything that they use to get liberation is also illusion. Right. So, you know, they got problems. Yes.
Can we say it's a question of faith? For example, they can have faith that they can get liberation, but something which is not logical.
You could say faith. Yeah, because faith can change and all that.
It's
absolute truth doesn't.
Yes. It's like a value based on something which is not real.
Yes.
But it's satisfying the ego, because we don't need God.
Yes, yes.
This is, I think, the main point, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, all these things, anything in karma and jnana, the satisfaction is that I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
So I will be able to make it all work out.
Yes, yes.
But somehow or another, it doesn't seem to work the way I say. So if I'm into karma, I give that up, go into jnana. If I'm into jnana, I give that up, I go into voidism. And when voidism doesn't work, then hey, we're right back at the beginning again. So again, sense gratification. You know, because if there's nothing, then all there is, you know, and there's the senses, then the senses are just engaged. Yes.
There is, like, in this dream, this helps them to break the dream. So then, this kind of Vedas and all the knowledge,
they help them break the dream.
So
but how can ignorance, how can a dream break the dream?
Like in dream, somebody comes and tells like, this is a dream, and they might awaken.
Yeah, but there is an awakened state. You know what I'm saying? And they as the individual. So the point is then who are they as the individual? Because they're saying it's an individual jiva, but you don't have jivas, you only have Brahman. So then Brahman's having this. Why would Brahman? How can Brahman be beginningless ignorance? And I'm just saying their points just bring up more, you know, how you say, faults as you go. You know, it's like if somebody, you know, about a situation or something tells a lie, then when people question about it, you have to keep making more and more and more lies about it. You know, so that's... Naisha tarkena matir apaneya propto nyenaiva sujanaya preshta. This knowledge cannot be achieved by logic. O dear one, it should be taught by another person in order to be understood properly. So logic can't get you there. Katha Upanishad 129. That means you have to hear from another person, but there are no other persons. And if you're hearing from yourself, you're in ignorance, so how will hearing from yourself in the dream, you know, break the dream?
Because I want
to. because if it's a dream, then it's not reality. So then why would the dream break the dream? Fire puts out fire because it's real. It actually functions that way. But then dream, then how do you know which is worse? You know? How do you know if you're awake or asleep? You're going to spin the top, or what's going to happen? How are you going to do this? So how do you know? Vritti, having cited the definition of the jiva from the Padma Purana, in the next few anuchetas, the author next elaborates on each of the characteristics mentioned in the Padma Purana verses. First, he highlights that the material consciousness, jada, is not an aspect of jiva's original identity. Anucheta 20. In sentience, jada in the jiva is rejected. Jagrat swapnaf shushuptam cha gunato bhuti vritayaha. Tasmat vilakshano jiva sakshi tvena vinishchita. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep, the three functions of the intelligence, are caused by the three gunas. The jiva is ascertained to be different from these three states, since it is only the witness of them. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.27. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Actually, there is no relation of the pure jiva with the sense objects and material consciousness. Giving up the false identity is giving them both up. Right. So then, yeah. So when you give up that false identity, then there's no material consciousness, and there's no sense objects. Yes. Everything is just Krishna's energy to be engaged in Krishna's service. One should know that wakefulness is born of the mode of goodness, dreams from the mode of passion, and deep dreamless sleep from the mode of ignorance. The fourth element, pure consciousness, is different from these three and pervades them. That pure that's what we were talking about? Turiya. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.20. Thus, the gunas are the cause of the three states of intelligence or consciousness. The jiva is different from them. It is without these three states. Why? It is confirmed that it is the mere witness of those states. Sardartha Darshani 11.13.27. Yeah, because he is conscious, but he's beyond the consciousness, the impure consciousness that's controlled by the modes of nature. Right, so that's when we say the about what you mentioned about polluted consciousness, or the chitta in that context. Then the jiva is beyond that, and it can observe that, but then it can come back to its natural state, where then is pure consciousness. Right, then everything you're dealing with is on the platform of Brahman. Mm-hmm. The Lord is also famous as the fourth state, Turiya. But this is different from the state of the jiva. Yatu mayi turiye stito jahyat. When one concentrates on me, or the fourth state, turiye, one gives up material consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.28. It is said. Right, so the state of Turiya is different from the jiva because the jiva can perceive it. Right? Virat Hiranyagarbhas cha karanam chait upadhyaya. Ishasya yat tribir hinam turiyam tat padam viduhu. When the Lord is devoid of the three forms have Kira Dakshai, Garbha Dakshai, and Karana Dakshai. He is known as the fourth form, Vasudeva. Sridhar Swami Commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.6. The fourth form refers to Vasudeva of the Chaturvyuha. The Lord spoke thus the verse.
How can he be devoid of these three forms?
Means when he's taking these forms, then he has those specific functions. And when he's not, when he's in his original state, then you're going to he is a fourth form because they take care of the different aspects of. They're controlling these different levels of consciousness of the jiva. So when he says when you're beyond that, so Vasudeva means he's beyond working with the material world. Basically you could say that.
Then all other incarnations of the Lord are beyond that anyway.
Yes. I mean, they are also, but the point is they're taking and dealing with these things. So when you go beyond that, that's Vasudeva. So yes, all the Leela avatars and all that are. But that's the point, is they're all Vasudeva. They're all expanded from Vasudeva.
That's the reason also. Here we discuss in the Swamis only these Purusha avatars and Guna avatars, but not the Leela avatars.
Okay.
Because they though come here, they're not functioning in the purview of material creation.
While the others are in connection with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's a feature of the Lord. We mentioned before, Balaram has that, but he doesn't manifest it. So it's only when you get down into these three, the Purusha avatars, they manifest it. Like that. Because, you know, someone has a little deal with this side of the consciousness and all that. So is there a thing here of who is... So Kira Dakshai Vishnu is wakefulness, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu is dreaming, and Karana Dakshai is deep sleep?
I think someone has it.
So then Vasudeva is Turiya.
Yeah, Vasudeva is Turiya. That is good.
Because, yeah.
I'll check in the commentary.
Okay. Vriti, the next anucheda accentuates on the jiva's unchanging identity. Though the body in which the jiva takes shelter is subjected to the six transformations, the jiva itself doesn't undergo any change. Thus, Jamitri Muni defines the jivas as na vaikari, or non-changing. Anucheda 21. Change, vikara, in the jiva is rejected. Okay, so this was insentient in the jiva is rejected. Now, change, vikara is rejected. Visarga jya smashananta bhava dehasya natmanaha. Kalanam eva chandrasya kalena vyakta vartmana. The various phases of one's material life, beginning with birth and culminating in death, are all properties of the body and do not affect the soul, just as the apparent waxing and waning of the moon does not affect the moon itself. Such changes are enforced by the imperceptible movements of time. Like the moon, so, you know, you can... Depending upon the night, how clear and everything, you can see the moon, even though it's a crescent, you can still see the rest of the moon. Mm-hmm. But it's like in shadow. Mm-hmm. It's not that the moon's only that big. Mm-hmm. So that's what he means. It may have that thing, but it doesn't affect the moon itself. So in the same way, the body may go through the six changes, but it doesn't affect the jiva. Mm-hmm.
So jiva's natural position, is it Turiya?
Yeah. Means is yes.
That's Brahmabhuta. Brahmabhuta, you say?
Yes, we'd say Brahmabhuta. It's just that's the natural. That's the neutral state. You're existing in like that. It says that. I think before it was making the statement that the Sambit Sandini Ladini, when they their influence on the jiva, then you get the happiness of the jiva, you know, appreciating the transcendental state or the spiritual platform, that knowledge of the spiritual platform, and that identification of themselves as Brahman. So those will be the, that's then that neutral state of the jiva. Now, if you look at it, then Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that it's natural, because if you don't have any conditioning, then it's going to be as this happiness is there, but it's not coming from me. There's a source for this. So where is that source? Right? So then you just see, is that, so then naturally then you're going to take up a relationship with that source. So that's then when the jiva moves forward to prema. But just a side point, I remember it. Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point that the idea of attaining that liberation is a goal. You know that you're in the material world, so there's liberation. You attain that goal, and then you become perfect. He says, but that doesn't apply to the nitya siddhas, because they were never conditioned. Mm-hmm. So they've always been liberated. So it's never a goal. Mm-hmm. Prema is a goal. So prema, so therefore liberation may apply to conditioned souls, but it doesn't apply to the nitya siddhas. Mm-hmm. So therefore the only thing that you can say is a goal for all jivas is prema. You can't take liberation as a goal, because it's not a goal for all jivas. You know. So that was also that point before, is, you know, to obtain, When the Tattvavadis were making that, to attain that you know, those forms of liberation in Vaikuntha. But then that can't be taken as an ultimate goal, because that's, they're not bringing out the point of prema towards the Lord. That has meaning. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, then they've attained this, and then those who were there and never conditioned, they'd be on different platforms. Yes.
Even in the beginning of Kriti Sandarbha, the flow is like that. First, impersonal liberation is not liberation at all, he proves. And Vaishnava liberation is the fourth. Then he mentions one after the four other, and then he says Samipya is the greatest because of its connection and closeness to the Lord.
Means being an associate.
Being in an association. So, and that means the essence is having that love for Lord. So, Preeti is the actual liberation.
Mm.
And then he goes on explaining what is Preeti. There's so many Shastric evidences how Preeti is the goal, is the actual liberation.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm just thinking that according to this description, the Nitya Bhada Jiva is a temporary designation as such.
Yes. It's temporary, because if you're working in eternal, it's just called nitya because you don't know when it'll end. And since it's not necessarily working in our time frame, you know, how do you know? That one lifetime of Brahma, many lifetimes of Brahma. You know, so you can't, so that's this, you know, it's just like, let's say you're standing in a line, right, to get something. And after, you know, some time, the line hasn't moved.
Yes.
So now, when you turn to the person next to you, what do you say about the time frame of the line?
It takes forever.
Yeah, it's going to take forever. So it's just the way people think. Yes.
Also, karma is called anadi. It's when we came here, he's also cannot be in the time frame.
Yes, it's before time. So the point is, getting out is outside of time, and coming in is outside of time. So since we're talking about time, therefore it's anadi. Okay. So it's just, these are the things. Of course, you know, there's going to be those who want to take the words literally and then come up with their own philosophies. And of course, they're free to do that. You know, it's a free world. You can do what you want. But the laws are governed by Krishna, and if that's what you do, then you'll stay here. You want to use the local laws as the absolute, then you'll stay here. You know, maybe next time around. You know, what is it? You know, there's that that saying is that, you know, I got all the time in the world, you know. You know, it's like somebody's there and they're trying to give you some trouble and all that, and they just say, I've got all the time in the world. It says, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, that frustrates them. So that's the point. Maya's got all the time in the world. So, you know, you want to spend a million lifetimes speculating, you can do it. It's not a problem. You know, it's not difficult for her to arrange. Right now. The appearance and disappearance of the various phases of the moon occurs because of the watery nature of the moon globe and the reflection of the sun's rays. The moon itself does not change. Similarly, the body changes its state because of invisible time. But the Atma does not change. Dattatreya spoke thus to Yadu. It's interesting about the watery nature of the moon globe, because Prabhupada talks about it's covered in ice. You know, and because of that, it produces light, but that light goes through ice, and so therefore then it comes as cooling rays rather than like the sun is heating. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so because he's cursed, therefore he waxes and wanes. But it's not because of the sun, and the sun, moon, and all these shadows and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, it may be all lined up so it looks like that. Like when you're in the Mayapur and you look at where the sun is and you go drive out and you look where the sun is, it appears to be in the same place. So they're all lined up. But in other words, the material world is lined up with the spiritual. So,
even like most of the examples, Shastric examples also are like a new thing for us. For that, it's obvious, like, oh, this is. So you're using that example to prove some Shastric point. Like, alloy. What? Bell metal and alloy, you can make gold, etc.
Mm. Yeah. And yes, because it all comes from there. So they will make things, you know, they're going to make, because otherwise, then what's the specialty? You know, you make something special. And then you have. You know, so it's just like Krishna's going to have a sword, so it'll be a special sword, because it'll be made from special metals and all that, so that alloy, like the deities, the Astadatu, that's an alloy, you know, you put all those different ones together, and they have their effects. You know, so there's something, it does something. Vriti, the next Anucheda stresses on the jiva's ability of being the knower. In a purified state, the jiva possesses knowledge. His real possesses knowledge
of his real
identity. Of, no?
Yeah.
Possesses knowledge of his real identity by his own intrinsic shakti, whereas in the conditioned state, he becomes illusioned by maya and possesses only material knowledge. Right, so that's why as you become purified by Krishna's grace, then you can understand who you are. But now what's that going to work? If you understand who Krishna is, then you understand who you are. Right? So it's like even you're talking about the mirror. But the point is unless there's sunlight, how do you see in the mirror? Right? So that means that the polishing of the mirror, unless it's in the context of the sun, it won't have the proper meaning. Because even if you polish, you can't see yourself. Like these Maya bodies and that, they're very austere and you know, pious, you can say. But they still can't see who they are. But if they add Krishna, then immediately they can see. Like the example is given of Vaishnava Das Babaji. Right? These, in the beginning, as a Maya body sannyasi, even though he was so learned, you know, from what we understand is he must have been quite learned because he knew all the Shastras. He could, you know, he could present them all in Sanskrit, no problem. You know? And so, but he came in contact with the Vaishnavas and then he saw something different. And that taste was more than what he was getting, you know, by being, you know, a stalwart in Mayavad philosophy. So he wasn't just an aspirant, he was someone who was nicely situated in it. And you could see the difference. So then, looking for it, then he met the came to Mayapur, and then like this, then he heard from Babaji Maharaj, and in this way, then he understood. And then anyone else who came, if you were just establishing some general, you know, points of discussions in Vrindavan, then the Babajis would take care. But it was one of these, you know, more argumentative kind of like establishing the philosophy things with those who don't believe, then they'd let Vaishnav Das deal with it. So, you know, because he was so knowledgeable. But that's the point is that having so much material purity and knowledge still did not reveal who they were as the soul. You only get a partial understanding. But it's only when he came across Vaishnavas, then he got a full understanding. So in other words, without Krishna, you can't see. Yeah. Yes?
We can say that having all those good qualities, then it helped him in being determined to search and then surrender to the devotees.
Yes, yes. But it still is by the grace of the devotees that he comes across that. The Lord in the heart sees, and if there's some sincerity, he'll put him in contact. And they're coming in contact, then you see where it goes from there. How much they take advantage of it or not. Because otherwise, so many come in contact, but how many are taking advantage? You know, it's like the Buddhists in South India. They came in contact with Lord Chaitanya, but they were not taking advantage. Like that, you know. So the only benefit they got was a bell metal plate on their head, you know. Like that. But, yeah. Adhikarna 2. Covering of the Jiva's pure knowledge and bliss. Anuchedas 22-26. Adhikarna Prakashika. In the current Adhikarna, the author analyzes on the aspect of the Jiva's ability of being the shelter of knowledge and possessing the quality of knowledge. Here the author reasons on how the Jiva becomes conditioned or illusioned, though he possesses knowledge as his intrinsic Shakti. Because one could ask, well, if he is, okay, he intrinsically has this knowledge and his understanding of himself, how could he be covered by Maya? In Anucheda 22, Jiva Goswami stresses on the Jiva's ability of being the knower. In I guess maybe here the, because it's not a purified state, right? In the purified state, the intrinsic Shakti of the Jiva will give him knowledge of his real self, pratyakjana. But when the Jiva becomes averse to the Lord and turns his attention towards Maya, he becomes illusioned, covered by the avidya Shakti, and obtains material knowledge. Yes. So in other words, watch out for, I say, fruit trees with large talking snakes in them. Having described the way in which the Jiva's quality of knowledge becomes covered, the author further elaborates how the conditioned Jiva loses his original blissful nature and experience samsara, material misery, in the Anuchedas 23-26. Sridhar Swami states the following in this regard. Because the Jiva, Saha, embraces ignorance, ajam, caused by Maya, ajaya, it serves Jushan, the body and senses, gunan, or identifies with them as his self. After that, Taranu, with its qualities such as bliss, ananda, hidden, apeta, bhagaha. It adopts similar qualities and attains bhajati, samsara, mrityum. Hence, by contact with Maya, the Jiva loses all his inherent intelligence and follows her dictation, just like a man attached to a prostitute loses all good intelligence. Therefore, having the capacity for knowledge, becomes ignorant and is conditioned by the Maya Shakti because of his aversion to the Supreme Lord.
In do the editing, you lose the context.
Hmm?
When you do editing, you lose the context.
Without the editing?
No, when you do the editing and reading, then you don't understand the beauty, you just concentrate on it.
Yeah. No, but you have to take it really slow. Anucheta 22. Yeah, no, it's a problem. Because that's why it's generally you have one person write and another person edit. That makes it easier, you know. Yeah, but, you know, the problem is you have to write it and go through it yourself, because who else is going to edit it?
Or else another 1 month extra.
Hmm?
Another 1 month extra.
It means when we finish it, then at that time it can be. When we have it the way we want, then we'll hand it to someone else. Anucheda 22. The Atma is not just knowledge itself. Na jnana matrat maka, according to Padma Purana. Though it is knowledge itself, it also possesses the power of knowing, jnana shakti, just as light possesses the power of illumination. Right, so it's knowledge, but it has the power to know. Does that make sense? So there's knowledge, the knower, and then what is known. So there's always three factors. Yes?
Why Jesus called the knowledge itself?
Because he has knowledge. But he can also, that with that, he knows.
For example, the money. We have the money, but we are not the money, unfortunately, fortune.
Depending how you look at it. Yeah, with Midas, it was a bit of an unfortunate kind of thing. Because are they, is there not Satchi and Ananda? So Ananda then means, where is Ananda coming? Where is happiness coming from? That's coming from interaction with something else. So that means even though they have knowledge, there must be a knower. And they have to exist. There's the individual identity. They are able to know, you know, something else. They can know themselves and know something else. Because it means you still can't have Ananda if you perceive something else, but you don't know who you are. Right? You know, it's just like, okay, you see something that you really like. But if you don't have an existence, then what's the meaning of that? It's there, okay, nice. But it's only if you as an individual can therefore enjoy that. You understand? So there's always going to be the three. Knowledge, knower, and known. Like that. You can't separate that. That's the means this understanding, this is an integral part of pure knowledge. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that pure knowledge means knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the jiva, then a knowledge of how you say what to do with this. Then what's favorable for that and what's unfavorable. So this is categorized pure knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so therefore, what are we dealing with will be like, so we have pure knowledge, and then we have our particular ontology, how we lay this out. What we want to bring out, to bring out the understanding of a Achintamayavada Tattva. You know, others, they're bringing out other things. They may have a slightly different. But the general ontology is going to be Chitta Chitteshwara Sadhana Sadhya. Right? So in here, then the point is if you know properly who you are and the Lord is, you understand what the material natures is. So here he just mentioned the two. Right? Then you're going to apply that, you know, in the sadhana, and you're going to get a result. Right? But you also have to know what's unfavorable for that. Right? Because otherwise then you could be distracted. That makes sense. So that basic the Upanishadic Chitta Chit Ishwara Sadhana Sadhya, that'll be the basis. It's just that Lord Chaitanya gave that we take it to finer details, because you're dealing with Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. Because that's generic when you say Chitta Chit Ishwara, because then how far you're taking Ishwara? You know? How much are you knowing of these things? So if you're taking all the way to Bhagavan, then you have to be able to understand Brahman Paramatma and Bhagavan. Right? And then in the jiva, you understand the jiva, but you have to know the condition, the liberated state. Right?
Yeah.
And then, now you know the relationship between them. Because you see what it is first, that means the first three are on the Lord, the next three are on the jiva, and then the last is on the relationship. Right, so included in the Lord is the energies, because that's the point. Is in the conditioned state, you're in the material world. The liberated state, you're not. So the material world is always going to be part of that conversation. Right, because the important thing is God's the controller of it, not us. That's the main thing to understand about the material energy. Right, and then you have the process and the result, and that makes 10. Right? It means that, you know, you're basing it on Shastra.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, there is if the knowledge is not complete, automatically something is missing, and there is a door for speculation.
Yes, yes, opens the door for speculation. Mm. Like that. Very wide door. Okay. The jiva does not undergo birth, death, growth, or deterioration, since he is the seer of all conditions of changing bodies. That jiva is knowledge alone, upalabdhi matram, existing constantly in the body, but is endowed with change by the power of the senses, just as prana is one entity, but moves from body to body. Right, so he's only knowledge. He doesn't mean here that he's knowledge alone, meaning there's nothing else. But what's being pointed out here is he's knowledge. So he knows these things. He's not these things. He's not the birth, death, growth, or deterioration. He's the knower. He has knowledge and he has the knower. Like that. So in that way, then, he pervades things. This is prana is one thing, but it moves from... So in the same way, as the jiva is one living entity, but he's able to perceive what's going on in his body and other bodies and things like that. Yes?
So basically, being conscious is being aware or...
Yes.
...is knowledge.
Yes.
But then experience of it is being the knower.
Yes, you could say. Yeah, basically, because for us, just knowing the facts, because unless you process that and it has a value for you, you won't act. So when attaining to spiritual platform is a value, then you'll act. And if not, if the material sense gratification is your value, then you'll act.
Because it defined Ladini Shakti as a special awareness of the samvit.
Hmm. Yeah, special awareness.
Special.
Because then you're able to how do you say? The experience of it. Because the whole thing comes down to the experiential, like we're saying, the Pramitri Chaitanya. Is that what you've experienced, that's what's kept in the memory. Facts are, there's no just facts. You only have facts that have impressed you. Those facts that you feel important, that's what you've memorized. That's why in school they give you so much to memorize. You can memorize it, and then, it's just like 2 weeks before the exam, you sit down and cram it, and then 2 weeks after the exam, you could probably, if you sat for the same exam, there's a good chance you wouldn't do very good.
In that sense, facts are not even knowledge. They are what's supposed to be known.
Yes, they're just what's observed. So that's the problem is that we without understanding that, then you don't see what's proper. And so then we're saying, no, we're just trying to understand the facts here. But no, you have an agenda here. There's something you specifically want to find, because otherwise you can present so many facts, but until you get to the fact that resonates with them, then only they think they found something. So that's the whole thing, is that people... as individuals, go on what is of value to them. And so then that can either be in the conditioned state or in the liberated state. So the liberated state is going to be Krishna and everything connected to him. So how everything connects to Krishna. You may not know, and you see another, that's why association, another devotee shows you how to connect something to Krishna you didn't think about connecting. Like that. And so then you expand. That's why we see in the spiritual world, Rupa Goswami is mentioning that the different associates, Srimati Radharani and her associates, then they learn from her all the different 64 arts, and they're all at different levels of experience in them. So some know the art, some are expert at the art, and some are masters at the art. Right? And so that's how it works.
Also, this point can be observed in the previous statements where it says the three states, the jiva is just aware of it, that's the knowledge of those three states, but he originally is in the fourth, which is the turiya state.
Mm. Yeah, that means the waking, dreaming, and that. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay.
So that means he, as a knower, he's beyond the three. That's why we can call him knower.
Yes.
But if he's in the three, he's just the knowledge itself, because...
Yeah, because that's what's known. Mm. Mm. Yeah, in other words, the material world is what can be known.
Yes.
But who's knowing it? That's the knower.
Yes.
And so you have the jiva as the knower of his field, but you have Paramatma as the knower of all fields.
Yes.
So in other words, Atma knows.
Yes. Yes.
It's just a matter of us as Atma. We're small, we know a little bit, and Krishna is Paramatma, he knows everything.
Yes. Yes.
And the knowledge is because that's what the consciousness which pervades in the matter, that's why that is the knowledge. Without consciousness being pervaded, it's not even, cannot be said technically knowledge also.
Yeah, because it's there unless you can pervade it. That's the pramana chaitanya. Is that unless your consciousness can pervade something, you can't know it. Only when you pervade it, then the mind transforms, and then you get the, what is it, vikara?
Vishaya,
chaitanya, where the mind takes that form. But generally, it only takes the forms of things you value. That's why if you go into a place that nothing's there, you'll say, come back and say, oh, nothing was there. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, someone says, yeah, there's something to eat in the kitchen. You go into the kitchen, but there's nothing there that you were interested in. Then you come back, oh, no, there's nothing there, even though there's so much there. You know, or on another one, you know, you say, mother tells them to pick up the stuff in their room. They go in the room. Everything's fine. What are they talking about? You know. Remember, one boy is, I went into his room one day. I think I used the bathroom or something like that. The whole floor is covered solid with stuff. Solid. You know, you have to be very careful how you walk around. And so then when I came out, I mentioned, wow, that's amazing, there's stuff all over the floor, you know. I just did not. Mother got upset, went in there, picked everything up, put everything back in the drawers and all that. And then the child was so upset because they didn't know where anything was.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The shorts go there, the blue socks go there, they always go there. You know, the red socks go over here, the shoes go here. And so that was how they had done it. So for them, it was in order. Now, if you had walked in there and not been careful and kicked things around, now it's a mess. You know. So that's the thing, is that the paramita, you see what is of value to you. So when by the association of the Vaishnav, spiritual is of value, then you start to see that. But if not, you won't. Does that make sense? So it's just like this. By constant association, then you see here, we're coming up with things that we go, oh, that's what that means. But then it's quoting from Vedanta Sutra from a section that we already studied. And it didn't mean that then, because it didn't have that value. Does that make sense? So then, as we find out, probably as we go through this, when you finish the six Sandarbhas, you can start on Shloka 1 of Bhagavad Gita, and you'll see that there's all kinds of stuff that you didn't know was there. Yeah.
For my, the knower is automatically above the guna.
The knower is above the gunas, because it's knowing the gunas. So you can't be gunas and know. Like that, because the gunas aren't knowledge. They're what's knowable, but they're not knowledge.
So knowledge is automatically connected to the spiritual aspect of life.
Yes. Yeah, because it's Sambit. Because in here, then you have the Vaikarti, false ego. That's the one of passion, where there is the idea to learn things and know things, but it's all in the purpose of how you will enjoy.
Yes.
So, therefore, you only know it in that context in connection with the senses or your own benefit.
Yes.
But to know things, how they connect to Krishna and to be served for Krishna, that's actual knowledge. So that's the knowledge we're talking about.
Yes.
You have the perverted reflection here.
Yes. Yes.
So therefore, when Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini, their influence on the material energy, then you're going to get the happiness that you call here, you're going to have the endeavors that people make to become happy, and you're going to have the 14 worlds in which they make their endeavor. You know? So that's you know, how you're going to... So that makes sense. So there's always going to be that aspect.
This is why the Mayavadi have difficulty, because they cannot realize what is knower, because
no.
If we stand in the guna, we cannot know anything.
No, and they think that they're one. They'll say they're the knower, but then they say they don't exist to know.
Yes.
So and there's nothing to know, and so it becomes weird.
Yes, yes.
Becomes weird. You know, it's like one of those, what's it? You know, those restaurants where you go in and it's pitch dark and all that, and then they bring you food and it's all about, you know, just the feel of it and the smells and like that. You know, they think, oh, it's a whole new experience and all that kind of thing like that. Yeah. But what they don't tell you is that if you eat in the dark, the ghosts eat it. So that's probably why you think it's a new experience, because those ghosts are hanging out there and, you know, getting all kinds of nice things to eat, you know, so they're encouraging.
The ghosts are supposed to pay.
No, that's the thing, they don't pay. And you have to do the digestion. They get all the energy in on that, but you have to do the digestion. It's not a good arrangement.
Only thing they do is encourage you to eat more, that's why you want to eat more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're there to inspire. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.